Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Monday, January 13th, 2020. It's episode number 154 of Canada's only mid-morning sports talk show. Woo! Coming right at you. I'm your host, Rod Peterson, here in the bunker, where it is double digits in the minus, and it's the time of year that we are questioning why we live here and cursing our ancestors. It's hit. Hasn't it? Darren Dupont's here, the co-host. How you doing, Dupes?
I'm doing really good.
Good. Good, good, good. Very fun weekend. Everybody know it. People are saying, it's the Chris Jones Day. I've seen a few people have said that on Facebook. The legendary Paul Drouin. Paul was just in here, said the same thing. Chris Jones is coming up later on in hour one. He's been going back and forth with producer Clark. We don't know where Jones is. And you're like, is this going to be video or over the phone? And
yeah.
Clark's like, oh, it's video.
He's got it dialed in.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
So Chris Jones will be with us later on. The Facebook wall is going off like a jackpot slot machine, isn't it?
Yeah, it really
ding, ding,
is.
Ding, 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 ding. And as you said, they're all from Saskatoon.
Yeah, there's a lot.
We're huge in Saskatoon and Norway. The Magnificent Seven sports topics as we get through the rollout here for Flooring Superstore, as we always do in this opening segment. These are topics we'll try to get to. As I've noticed lately, we've been veering way off the road on these, but we're going to try to stick to this. Very fun sports weekend, NFL, NHL, WHL, curling, NBA, and I didn't even have to leave my house. You, different story, but it was fun for both of us.
Oh, yeah.
But in different ways. Point two, Battle of Alberta, Flames 4, Oilers 3. Ho, 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 ho. That's led to our poll question today. Everybody's seen the video of the two hits from Matthew Tkachuk of the Flames on Edmonton, Zach Cassian, Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, Battle of Alberta. And finally, Cassian had enough. And as my New Zealand friends would say, he took the piss out of him. He beat the hell out of Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Ended up getting, a double minor penalty for it. Flames score on the power play, win the game. Doesn't matter. The regular season is for this kind of stuff. Message sending, lesson learning. Should the Flames and Oilers hook up on the playoffs, Tkachuk's not going to go near Zach Cassian. So the Daily Capital Automall Universal Collision Center poll question is, how many games of a suspension should Zach Cassian get for mopping the ice with Matthew Tkachuk the other night? Because you've seen the video, right?
Oh, yeah.
You've seen it. The majority on Facebook and Twitter both saying zero. No suspension for Zach Cassian is warranted. Now, he's going to have a hearing today with the NHL. 0%, or sorry, zero games is what the majority of respondents are saying. And then you see on Facebook here, 22% say three plus games, 22% say two games, and 16.7% say one game. I'm not going to get into the minutia of the rest of it. You can go to SportsCenter for that. But these are my thoughts. Clearly, I'm an Oilers fan. One thing I did realize is if you go to our Instagram story, I put a poll up there because after the game, Cassian called Matthew Tkachuk a pussy, which I loved. And we put a poll, pussy, not a pussy.
Sick cat emoji.
With a little cat emoji. 60%+ said he's a pussy. So take that for what you will. Point three, AFC playoff games. On the weekend, Tennessee, of course, upsetting the world. The shock of the world. It was.
Oh, yeah.
Beating Baltimore 28-12. That's Dupe's team, the Tennessee Titans. Actually, Kansas City shocked the world, too, the very next day.
Oh, yeah.
Coming down from being down 24-0 and then beating Danny Barrett's Houston Texans 51-31. Point five, the NFC games. Green Bay beating Seattle 28-23 in a game that I think favored the Seahawks. Packers had complete control. They're moving on to the NFC Championship game against the San Francisco 49ers, who really had their way with the Minnesota Vikings on Saturday. Point five, the Saskatchewan Rush, aside from laying that egg in their home opener, have not lost any other games. They've been on the road for their other three games, and that included Sunday in San Diego. They beat the Seals 12-9. So they're 3-1. They come home this Saturday against the Colorado Mammoth. We're talking a little bit about the Rush. Point six, dub trade deadline leftovers. Because you called two Blades games this weekend. Are they? Where are they? Because I only really pay attention to my Pats.
Yeah, it's really wild. It's tight.
I think. So are the Blades a contender or not?
Yeah, they're going to be a playoff team for sure. And they're going to contend for home ice.
Cool. And point seven, Danny Machocha is, if he hasn't already, to be named the next general manager of the Montreal Alouettes. I think that's a really good fit. Montreal guy. Lives in Montreal, coaches the Caribbean's university team. Now he's the GM of the pro football team. Doesn't even have to move. So those are the Magnificent Seven show topics here in the Flooring Superstores rollout. And before I go any further with my ramblings, and yes, Chris Jones will be joining us later on in the program, along with Nick Lewis here in the bunker. Calgary Stampeders all-time leading scorer Mark McLaughlin here in the bunker. And Rombie Bryant, former Dallas Cowboy, and Calgary Stampeder, who's broken the Riders' hearts many, many times. He's going to be on the program here, too. So, over to you, Darren. The staying dark. Do you want to tell our viewers that didn't know? I don't think they would know what you were successfully able to do Saturday. Frankly, I think it's a little leery. Folks, Darren turned his phone off, had zero contact with the outside world with his Titans playing Saturday, yet he broadcast a game in the WHL. You drove all the way home. I won't steal your story.
No.
I don't love any team that much. Yeah. My Pats were in the Memorial Cup final the same day the Riders were playing a game, and I had the game on a laptop in the booth.
For sure. And I thought about doing that exact same thing. It's tough because how would you go without watching that game or finding out what happened in the Pats game? And, you know, can you watch it later? I don't know. But with the Titans playing in the playoffs, I'm like, I was really struggling. Do I, watch it in the booth while I'm trying to call the game, be distracted? And will I really get to enjoy it? Or will I try and watch it at home? And so I made the attempt to go dark and not find out the score, which is nearly impossible.
Especially in 2020.
In 2020, it is so hard to do. But I put it on my social media that I was going to go dark. My phone was on. I called my family and I texted them. I said, you won't be able to get a hold of me. Like, I won't get a notification. I won't get anything. So if an emergency happens, call Les, because he's the only one to be able to get a hold of me. But shut all my notifications off and did the game. Now, you have no idea how many times I would grab my phone and hit the Twitter app. And it would, and Twitter would pop up like the logo as it's loading. And I'm like, no. Close it.
You didn't want to, yeah. Don't
probably
do that.
Four or five times, just by habit, I would open the Twitter app. The only app I could open was Snapchat, and that's how I was texting with my mom because she listens to the Blades games. Was the Snapchat app because there's no notifications on there. There's nothing I'm going to see. So I only had two spoilers the whole day, and you'd be amazed. I was amazed at how many people in Saskatoon knew I was doing this. Like, they'd walk by me in the hallway. People, I've I'm not even sure who they are. And they're like, you know, I won't tell you the score. I won't tell you the score. I won't tell you the score. I know you're not watching it. The only two I had one, and I can't remember. Somebody yelled at me from the media row after the game. They said, you're damn Titans. And I'm like, what does that mean? Don't tell me the score. Don't tell me the score. I'm like, what does that mean?
Could mean a lot of things.
And Darren Zeri upstairs, he asked me, he's like, are you watching the game? I'm like, no, I'm not. Don't tell me. I'm going dark. He's like, okay, I'm like, I only want to know if, I'm like, I don't want to know, but maybe if the Titans are just getting the crap beat out of them so badly that it's going to be a pain to watch, that's the only way I want to know. And he said, nope, so far, so good. That's all he said. So I'm like, does that mean so far, so good we're winning? Does that mean so far, so good, like, they're not getting blown out? I had no idea. So did that, drove all the way back to Regina, got home, and I got to my TV at about 1:30 in the morning, and I'm like, I should sleep. But I can't sleep and not knowing what happened. So I watched the game. It ended at about 4 a.m. And then, of course, they won. And I have to coach hockey at 10 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. You're up on a high after watching the game.
Yeah, you look a little tired right now.
It was about 5:30 in the morning before I went to sleep. Woke up at 9 to coach hockey and then had a good sleep last night.
So. Would you do it again?
I wouldn't do this on a week. I'm not doing this for a regular season game or a weekly basis. I'd do it for a playoff game. Yeah, I'd do it for the
You would go
game.
Dark again.
I wouldn't. But rarely.
I wouldn't.
It was not easy. It was literally taxing. Like, it was like, you know how it is. Like, you get anxiety, you know, when we communicate and connect so much to our phones. It's kind of crazy not using it for a day.
Yeah.
It's
society
crazy.
Now.
I know.
Again, I wouldn't do it. A couple things. Breaking news. Thank you, Clark. Breaking news today. The Montreal Alouettes have named their president and general manager. Thank you, Clark, and also to viewer Nelson for chiming in that they are Mario Cecchini. He's the president of the Alouettes, and Danny Machocha is the general manager of the Alouettes. And I believe 3 Down Nation had the story first over the weekend. Justin Duncan, 3downnation.com. Back to the Flames and Oilers for a second. Ron in Pigeon Lake, Alberta, writes in. He says, we were at the Flames-Oilers game on Saturday. Tkachuk was running him a little, but Cassian lost his marbles, and .. It slides off the screen. You almost can't get, what should I say, impartial analysis of that situation, because Flames fans feel their way, and they defend Tkachuk, and Oilers fans, of which I'm one, defend Cassian and feel their way. So now the NHL's having their hearing today with Zach Cassian, who just literally ragdolled Tkachuk for running him twice in the game. And I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to even come close to arguing why I think he should get off with this. But I do. It's funny because we did the dinner, of course, in October with Matthew Barnaby. And I said to him, you've had many hearings in your time. I think he was suspended, all told, over 70 games by the NHL. Hundreds of thousands of dollars it cost him in fines. And I said to Barnaby, what happens in these hearings? And he, at that time, it was Colin Campbell. He said, sits you down and goes frame by frame through the video and says, Matthew, what were you thinking here when you were coming up and about to elbow the guy and knock out 9 of his teeth? And Barnaby's like, I wasn't thinking anything. Just give me the damn suspension. Let me get out of here. I'm sure Cassian was in a blind rage, which here's the interesting. When I said we had a wonderful sports weekend, didn't have to leave my house, it's different for you.
Yeah.
You're calling the Blades game. You got chaos in the Battle of Alberta. You got your team playing in a game, and you missed it all because you're calling a junior hockey game. And for 20 to 30 years of my life, it was the same. You're either doing games or you're traveling, and you miss all this stuff.
Right.
Everybody else is far more in tune to what's going on in sports than you are as a play-by-play guy or coaches and so forth, because you're busy with your own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to spend so much time.
You need to know everything about everything with your own team.
After the fact. Yeah, so much time for your own team. And then if you want to stay up to date with what's going on, your favorite NHL team, the NFL playoffs, you have to spend so much time after the fact that there is zero social life. Zero time to do anything fun. Yeah, what is social life?
No.
But yeah.
Read the book by Robert Herjavec from the Shark Tank and Dragon's Den. Work-life balance?
It doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. You want to get ahead? You got to pick one.
But the Zach Cassian thing was pretty remarkable because there's no doubt, like, and there's no arguing, I don't think, the fact, I mean, you can always argue everything, but there's no arguing that Matthew Tkachuk is an effective player. He's an effective player. The Calgary Flames love him. The fans love him. He gets under your skin. He scores goals. He does a lot of things really well. Very, very valuable player. But I think 95% of the NHL was watching what transpired and sitting there being like, it's about time that somebody grabbed him and just took him to the cleaners, right?
Right.
And I think a lot of people want to do that. I think a lot of people, you know, that just get it out. And I think that feels really good. So I like that too, because he probably deserved it. You can't just run around, you know, and not atone for your actions.
I just love the, hey, we cracked 200, boys. Everybody's, this is our highest viewership for a rollout segment yet for Flooring Superstores. And of course, a lot of them are waiting for Chris Jones, who will be with us bottom of the hour here. Block two, as the boys like to say. Chris Jones coming up, Cleveland Browns assistant coach, as it stands right now. So just so you know, Chris Jones coming up a little later on. But with the, they're either Cassian haters or Flames supporters, they're wagging their fingers saying, oh, but Calgary scored in the power play, so he cost his team. As I said earlier on, Regular season is for this stuff.
Yes.
Message sending, score settling. It's all setting up for later down the line. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand how the game works. It's not that different than football. Like the Blue Bombers blowing huge leads in Toronto and Montreal and losing in the regular season. Guess what? Wasn't going to happen in the Grey Cup. They had their stuff locked down.
Yep.
That in the money time, what Cassian did Saturday night will pay off in the money time in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I agree.
Trent writes in from Norway. Where did Trent's comment go? Can you put that back up on my monitor here? Fellas. Here it is. Norway calling. Glad to hear the Rush won in San Diego. Looks like the Battle of Alberta is back on, which we can't get lost in all of this. That's what's good. Everybody's talking about it. 1.5 million views last I saw of the Cassian ragdolling of Tkachuk just on the Barstool Sports video alone. Yeah. Just on Barstool. Cassian versus Tkachuk will go on the next time they meet, which is January 29th, by the way. What do you think the ratings will be for that?
Whew.
And 49ers versus Kansas City in the Super Bowl. Have a good one back home. That says, so says Trent from Norway chiming in. So listen, we'll break. That's some of the big topics this morning as you join us for coffee across the nation, across the land, around the world, as it turns out. For the rollout for Flooring Superstore. Chris Jones coming up. Hopefully next segment, more of your comments. I should tell you that the Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Buy now, pay later at Prairie Mobile. All smartphones are $0 every day using SaskTel Plus pricing. They are your SaskTel authorized dealer. We'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Super Crew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. It's time to trade and upgrade at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back to the program. We believe Chris Jones coming up later on in this segment. I say we believe Darren DuPont, just ahead of the sports update here, because there's been a few moments in this show, in its early existence, because we're only in episode 154, where I almost can't believe that it's happening. Like, it's coming. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
And then it happens.
Well,
as recently as the Cody Fajardo interview last week from his coach in D.C., or Kevin Glenn announcing his retirement live on his 40th birthday on this show, or Dave Tippett joining us from his off-season home in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'll believe it when I see it. Devone Claybrook's coming on live from the BC Lions practice facility. And then it happened.
Yeah, when the team is, what, 1-10?
10, yeah. 1-11, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. But Chris Jones has a little bit of that too, where Chris Jones does Chris Jones, and sometimes he just might be doing his own thing. But he's a guy who, you know, you'll pick up the phone and call him, and he'll answer. And you'll have a great conversation with him. And then the next minute, he'll be stuck in meetings and he'll be doing his thing. And when he's dialed in, hey, I'll get to you when I get to you. So I think they got it worked out. It was the time zone thing, right? And Clark is so good at that.
An hour ago, Chris Jones was ready to go.
Ready to go.
So it was a time zone thing. And we don't even know where Jones is. So he had to wait an hour to come on. And Clark will notify me the second that he's ready. So sports update here for Ballers Rec Room. A tough night for Leafs goalie Frederik Andersen. He allowed 4 goals on 12 shots before he was pulled 49 seconds into the second period in an 8-4 Leafs loss to the host Florida Panthers Sunday. The Jets can't seem to find a way to win on home ice recently. UC Saros made 28 saves as the Nashville Predators blanked Winnipeg 1-0 at Bell MTS Place. The Jets have lost 6 in a row at home. Also, Elias Pettersson scored his 21st goal, and fellow All-Star Jacob Markstrom stopped 23 shots in the Vancouver Canucks 4-1 victory over the Wild in Minnesota. The return of Pascal Siakam and Norman Powell wasn't enough for the Raptors to get the win at Scotiabank Arena. DeMar DeRozan scored 25 points, and the San Antonio Spurs rallied from an 18-point deficit to beat Toronto 105-104. Aaron Rodgers and his Green Bay Packers are heading to the NFC title game for the third time in 6 years. Rodgers connected with Devontae Adams 8 times for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns, and the Packers held on for a 28-23 victory over the Seattle Seahawks. The Packers will travel next weekend to take on the top-seeded San Francisco 49ers. Houston Texans will spend the offseason wondering how they let a 24-0 lead slip away. And the Kansas City Chiefs will be preparing for the Tennessee Titans in the AFC title game. The Chiefs spotted the Texans a huge lead Sunday before coming back for a 51-31 victory. Patrick Mahomes threw 5 touchdown passes for Kansas City. And Ben McIntosh broke out of his early season slump in a big way as his 4-goal effort teamed up with another polished performance from goalie Evan Kirk.
Make them work.
To push the Saskatchewan Rush to a 12-9 victory over the San Diego Seals on Sunday afternoon. The Rush hosts Colorado this Saturday night. And that is your Monday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Ballers will be hosting the Rod Peterson Show Super Bowl party February 2nd. We'll have a massive high-definition TV installed. We'll be giving away prize packages on our show, including Vern's Pizza, to you and 3 friends. So tune in next week to learn how to win. As we await Chris Jones chiming in from wherever he may be, viewers, listeners chiming in from wherever they may be. Randy Nickel writes in. He says, checking in from Mazatlan. Did you see the email going around from the tech guys here last week that Vegas was our third highest city for viewership last week?
Amazing.
Figure that one out.
That's incredible.
Defies logic.
Got to work on that Caesar's Palace sponsorship. Did you hear that?
There he is. There's Nick. Hey, Nick, come on in. Didn't you? Clark said the second Nick Lewis rolls in, say hey.
What's up?
There he is. CFL receiving king. Scott Henbury writes in on the Facebook wall. He says, good morning from the Great Western team. Congrats on hitting over 200 live viewers. Cassian will likely get 1 to 2 games, but Kachuk had it coming.
Yep.
Here's the thing, Darren. That's Nick Lewis, you see, chiming into the studio there. There we go.
How y'all doing?
In the 80s, before you were born, Darren, well, you were born in 87. Nick, what year were you born in?
1982.
82. Well, you weren't old enough, and you wouldn't have been watching the Battle of Alberta and Texas anyways. What happened the other night happened every whistle. Every whistle. Somebody was getting the snot pounded out of them. Dave Semenko, Tim Hunter, Marty McSorley, Joel Otto, every whistle that was going on. And it's national news because it happened one time in a decade.
Yeah.
But I remember the time where...
Pull that mic in if you don't mind.
Is it on?
Yeah, it's on. Just pull it up.
I remember the time that, probably about 10 years ago, where they just all threw down their gloves and had the fight. Wasn't that Edmonton-Calgary?
Yeah. But even that didn't seem that serious compared to the old days. You get it, man. Can you just speak for a second? Apparently, Chris has logged in. We'll be going to Coach Jones in a minute. The hatred between Calgary and Edmonton is very real. And frankly, I can get down with it. I like that kind of stuff. It's real, isn't it, Nick?
It is. You know, they said, I remember when I first got to Calgary, they were like, we don't care if you go 2-16, just beat Edmonton. You know, it's one of those things where it's a very real competition. They really have this hatred for each other. And it kind of rubs you the wrong way. I mean, Calgary is bigger, and you know, Edmonton, they call it the city of champions and all these other things. They seem arrogant, and Calgary's just like hard nosed. So yeah, it's real. And you know, even talking to like AJ Gass now, when I see him before games, and because he's coaching in Edmonton last year, and just talking to him, it just seems so weird, because I remember him and Senor Mobley and Donnie Brady and all those guys that AJ throws a helmet 15 yards. There's no penalty. There's no nothing. It was just like, put your ear pads back in and let's go.
War.
It yeah. is war.
See, now I would have said Calgary's arrogant and Edmonton's blue collar.
Really?
Yeah. And I went to college in Calgary. I did live there. It's the first time you ever heard that?
Yes.
I love that. I love that because everybody thinks that they're great and the other guys are the problem. Oh, so Saskatoon, Regina, be the same thing. We think that about them, but they think the same thing about us, right?
It was like us in Montreal, too. You know, during those times when Huff got here and Tressman got here, it was the same issue. We felt like they were the bullies and the cocky guys in the East, but everybody felt like we were the bullies and the cocky people in the West, right? So,
which is fine. It worked for you. It worked for you.
It was all the dancing and celebrating, but couldn't stop us.
Okay, now just refresh my memory because I'm getting old. Huff showed up in 08. We over here in Saskatchewan thought you guys were a bunch of thugs and bad people, and Huff cleared all the bad guys out, and you go on to win all these Grey Cups. That's kind of what people think here. Was that fair? Now, you were there the whole time.
I mean, the
core. Was there a big culture change?
No, the core was there. Like, the core was there. There wasn't, like, I don't remember any major pieces being removed after 2007. The core was there. Like, offensively, Joffrey, Rambo, Cope, myself. We had got corners in 07. You know, that year we brought in Charleston and Smitty and Juwan Simpson and Juwan Armour. So I think the core was there. It wasn't that we got rid of people. It was just we had a coach that, you know, one thing is Huff is all about preparation. And one of the things is we were a young team that we didn't prepare very well. And we played good some weeks. We didn't play good some weeks. But when he brought that preparation factor, we felt like we could beat anybody.
That's what took you to the next level.
That's what took us to the next level. He made us prepare, and we were prepared to beat any team. And that's one of the things that I think that's Huff's greatest thing is how he prepares and how he prepares his teams.
Clark, what's the story? We got Coach Jones. He's locked. Oh, his camera froze. So
it's that face.
Broke the camera. Well, hey, at the very least, if we have to get him on the phone, we can do that too, right, Darren? Yeah. You're behind the technology of all this.
Yeah.
But as we await Chris Jones joining us live this morning, Nick, what about the coaching shift, not across the CFL, but just specifically in Calgary? Mark Mueller's now gotten the promotion to quarterbacks coach. Don Jackson was here on Friday saying Mark's where he belongs. He's too smart to be with the running backs as he was. There's been some changes in Calgary. What's your take on that?
Yeah, they're making some changes. You know, Dinwiddie left. Killam was up for a job, and he did some interviews for head coaching. They promoted Pat to the co-offensive coordinator, or the offensive coordinator. I believe Dave will still be calling the plays, but he gets the title. And now Mark Mueller's the quarterback coach. And that's Mark Mueller's one of those guys. He's a hometown guy here in Regina, and he's very smart, intelligent, and I believe he was up for the OC job in Edmonton if Killam would have got the job. So he's one of those guys, and you're in that system, and you understand what hard work is in preparation. Like I said, Huff is harder on his coaches than his players. So I understand the fact of how they prepare and what they go through to get everyone ready.
You guys can throw your headphones on because Clark tells me we do have Coach Jones, Chris Jones, joining us on video chat this morning. There he is. Wherever he is, it's beautiful. Good morning, Coach Jones. How are you? Happy New Year. Clark has just said they dropped it for 1 second. He can hear us. We can't hear him.
Well, he obviously can. He wanted to show us the poolside.
Palm trees.
Like,
what a teaser.
Rub it in when it's minus 40 here in Regina.
I don't know how Coach Jones is with the technical aspect. We got a lot of viewers. As a matter of fact, it would appear an all-time high here right now. And from time to time, Nick, you've been here enough. We get guys on and the mic's not working on their phone or something like that, right? And it takes a while for Clark to fix it. And I'm not sure if Jones is good enough with the phone to fix that.
It's what happens when you're live.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Those are the live problems.
It's the beauty of being live.
That's well, it. Clark's telling us that he just needs to hit refresh. Now, Jones had been in Reno, Nevada late last week. It looks like he's in Mexico, and I've never known Chris Jones to take a holiday. Have you, Nick? He doesn't seem like a holiday kind of guy.
He'll find someone.
I was going to say, he's going to find someone.
I mean, if it's bouncers at clubs, if it's, you know, he'll find someone everywhere he goes.
To fix his phone.
He might find someone to fix his phone, but he'll definitely find someone that can play football.
Well, that's his forte. But as Clark works with Chris Jones and getting the audio fixed, Darren asked before you showed up, what's Nick and Jones' relationship? Do they get along? And I said, well, you're on the stamps together. And he brought you in as a guest coach in training camp in 2018.
Yep.
Can you talk about you guys' relationship?
Man, it's great. You know, that's one of the guys that I've always loved his passion for the game. When he got to Calgary in 2008, actually, funny story is before when I was coming out of college, my offensive coordinator at Southern Arkansas and Chris Jones are like really good friends. And I did a workout for Montreal, but Chris wasn't there. And the only reason I did it because, you know, I got coerced into going there to do the workout. And they didn't have interest in me. They wanted all 6 foot and over receivers at the time. But when just being around Jones in Calgary those 3 years, seeing his passion for the game. And then in training camp 2 years ago when I was there and guest coaching, like every day, he just loves watching kids and young men go out there and compete and get better. It's all about how you can get them better and make them better men. And it's truly inspiring to see it because he would come up every day and he'd just be smiling like, what do you think? You like it? You like it? And I'm like, I love it. You know, it's a great passion of mine to not only help them, but to be able to go out there and compete mentally. And that's what coaching provides.
Let me ask you this. Did you make Jones aware that you wanted to get into coaching, or did he approach you and say, hey, Nick, you'd be great at this?
Well, actually, when they came out to Montreal in 2017, the day before the first game of the season, or 2 days before the first game of the season, they came out, and I'd seen him and a couple of the coaches, and he asked me, he's like, hey, you still thinking about getting into coaching when you're done? If so, give me a call. And I told him I was and everything, and everything kind of went last minute with Montreal. I kept trying to retire, and this whole big story of Montreal didn't want me to retire yet. They wanted to orchestrate something with Calgary. It got pushed all the way till the week before training camp. So it kind of pushed me in a bad spot with everything else. And I called Jones, met up with him, and I was able to get on the staff for a training camp. So it was really good.
Now we got some viewers chiming in with questions for Chris Jones, and I like it. Well, maybe I should be writing these down. Nelson wants to know, how long has Jones been having teams/players compete for chicken dinners in practice? Any questions you have for Chris Jones, light them up. As Jeff Kabilis, if I'm saying that right, has just written in, holy cripes, let's go for 300 viewers. We're at a record already, and if we can get Chris Jones' mic on, it'll be a win.
Yeah.
What's the latest, Clark? We're going to take a commercial break, boys, if we're ready. Jordan, if you're ready, we'll take a break and hopefully be back. We got Chris Jones, but we need to hear him. That's next Monday morning of the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, We service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Thanks for tuning in on this Monday morning. Joining us for coffee, Caliber Coffee, on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com. Chris Jones is in St. Petersburg, Florida, gentlemen.
Okay.
Hence the palm trees and the pool. And Clark says we're just moments away from getting Chris Jones ready after the audio issue. I told the guy, I ran into there in the break, and I said, if this isn't going to work, get him on the phone. Because it looks like he's got time. But Clark said he's in great spirits, very patient, and is in a good mood this morning. And I would be too, by the way, if I was in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yeah. He'll definitely find someone there.
A player.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for a player. Well, by the way, check in the poll question from Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center today. How many game suspension should Zach Cassian get from Saturday night's melee in the Battle of Alberta on Hockey Night in Canada? I'm going just with the Twitter results. 61%, the whopping majority, saying 0 games for Zach Cassian. A lot of folks saying it was settled on the ice. 13% say 1 game, 14% say 2 games, 12% say 3 or more games. But the whopping runaway winner is 61% of you saying 0 game suspension deserved by Zach Cassian for Saturday night's antics, mopping the ice with Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, and I think he's probably going to get multiple games. I do.
Do you?
I do. It's the regular season. You mentioned it. It's for score settling and things. Well, it's also for handing out these suspensions. You can flex your muscles as the league, and you can hand out a few more games in the regular season. You can't do it as much in the playoffs. You know, you look at the one side of it is maybe he doesn't deserve games because supplemental discipline is supposed to be taking care of stuff that never got taken care of during the game. Took the penalty, cost his team a win, you know, because they scored in the power play. So he served his time. But no, you can't grab a guy who doesn't want to fight and ragdoll him like that anymore. As much as we loved it, I think he'll get a couple of games.
Well, as I mentioned with Matthew Barnaby yesterday, this is not the NHL that I grew up with. I don't recognize it anymore, so maybe he will be suspended. This kind of stuff happened every whistle back in the day. What's the deal with Coach Jones, Clark? Oh, he's going to the phone. We're going to have him on the phone. While we wait, Dan in Saskatoon, Dan Ukrainitz writes in and says, who does Nick have tonight? College football championship game in the Superdome in New Orleans, Clemson or LSU? What's your take, Nick?
I'm going to LSU. I just think their offense is just too powerful. They score so effortlessly. And once they spread you out, it's just hard to deal with. And I think they have a little bit better weapons to control Clemson. And yeah, it's gonna be a good game though. I think Clemson has the firepower. I really love their running back Etienne, and I think they can really hold their own. But man, if LSU puts up 40, 50, I don't think Clemson can do it.
You happy to see Alabama not in this game, or not, or do you care?
I don't really care. I kind of like the thing with Clemson now because it's always you're chasing one. Right, everybody's going to build toward that, right? So you take what Saban did really well, create a great defense, and then you get you an offense that can sustain and score. And if you get lucky or you're good and you get a great quarterback, then you put yourself in position to win it. And I think that's what Clemson has done, and they've been fortunate to have what Taj Boyd to Watson to now Trevor Lawrence, and it put him in a great position to win consistently.
All right, appreciate Clark doing this, and we appreciate Coach Jones' patience. We're going out on the phone line. This is not as sexy as the video looked by the poolside in St. Petersburg, but Coach Jones joining us from Florida. I'll say Happy New Year, Coach. How are things in your life right now down in sunny FLA?
Well, I came down yesterday, and I had to wonder why I don't have a calendar or why I don't have a It's beautiful down here, man.
Coach, it was almost 1 year ago to the day that you resigned with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and went to Cleveland. Can you take us through this last year? Because we haven't heard from you much since you left. How was it for you personally?
Well, I mean, it was a little bit of a transition. I mean, you go from being the head coach and general manager and kind of running the team, and now you're more of a support staff and want to make suggestions defensively and that type of thing. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been in this position.
So, but we got a lot of questions about you know, the Cleveland Browns, I guess, and the defense, not without going any specific things. But one thing I wanted to ask you was Odell Beckham Jr. and Daron Carter, are they as similar as they look from the outside since you've been up close with both?
Well, Odell is he's a great guy. He's a fantastic individual. He works hard. He's got his own ways of doing things like a lot of great players.
What's the difference between coaching in the CFL versus the NFL? I mean, it seems to me that the differences would be huge, but is it as big as it seems from the outside?
Personally, I don't think so. I mean, you know, they're players just like players up in Canada, and like I told all the coaches this year, and sometimes they didn't believe me, the level of play and the level of player is better in the Canadian League than what they're saying.
Some of our viewers have chimed in with questions, Coach, and one of them is my friend from the Armed Forces, Brad Hersina, wants to know, do you recommend players that aren't a fit of the National Football League to the CFL? And if so, you know, how often do you do that? And who are some of the guys that you've recommended that didn't fit in the NFL but were perfect fits for the CFL?
Well, you know, I mean, it's worked both ways. There's a lot of guys in the NFL that could not play in CFL games. Those big, 400-pound, 380-pound nose tackles, there ain't no way they can play in the CFL. And then at the same time, we've got some guys that succeed up in Canada, but that would fit into the NFL. And then you got your guys like Sammy and Dion that – you know, somebody was crazy not for taking them to NFL to start with.
No kidding. Chris, who are you most excited about? Have you been watching some of the guys from the CFL that have recently signed in the NFL? Because there's a lot of them coming down, it seems like, this offseason. Who has a real shot to make an impact?
You know what? That's sometimes by the time I start prognosticating, somebody gets, kept on a team that I wouldn't think that they would, So If they're getting an opportunity, it's because they're a good player, and it's just a matter of going to see where they fit in.
Well, two guys I specifically want to ask you about are Derek Moncrief and Willie Jefferson. Derek signed with the Raiders. Willie's letting it be known he believes he's going to sign with the Miami Dolphins. Your take on those two guys going to the NFL?
Well, the good thing is Chris Bersetti, he's down there in Miami. And they got an open mind on bringing the Canadian kids down. I mean, Willie's got to be physical. The physicality part on it is the part we've talked about for years, that he's going to have to go down there and show that he can play the run, and he's going to have to show that he can do something in the special teams area. But athletically, there's not a whole lot of people that are going to be more athletic than Willie. He's 6'6", 6'7", 240, runs 4.5. I mean, those don't just grow on trees. So he's got a chance to do some things. And then Moncrief is such an instinctual football player. He's got to stay healthy, and he's got to show that he can. And he's got to play special teams. He's going to have to be a guy that can go be a, you know, a core teamer down there and prove that he can play. And if he does, I mean, he's got the instincts.
What does it mean to you to see Willie win Most Outstanding Defensive Player of the Year in the CFL like he did in 2019 and then win a championship with Winnipeg like he did, given the influence that you've had on him in his life?
Well, first of all, again, it's well publicized. I mean, you know, where Willie has come from, as he, you know, got drafted and all the issues that he had prior, and I'm not trying to conjure up old thoughts or anything, but I can't be more proud of that young man because, and I'll be honest with you, the first year in Edmonton was very tough, and I had some coaches saying, you know, we need to move on. And I said, look, I said, you know, anybody can coach the ones that come every day ready to assist the guys like, you know, like him that you decide whether or not you're a good coach or not. And so Willie, you know, and it came down to Willie deciding. But when Willie decided, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a pro. I'm going to work hard for my family. And, of course, he's got a beautiful family. And when he decided to do that and he matured, we got him to that point, man, he's done the rest. And, again, whether he gets a shot in the NFL or not, he's a great CFL player, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm proud of the 17 years that I spent up there, and I defend the CFL every day. And, regardless whether he gets a shot or not, he's a great player.
And that's where I'm bringing up the Dolphins, because Willie's a different guy going there than he was the last couple of times he's been down south. Chris, I still don't think he's 30. Would he be? I mean, maybe now's the time.
I think he's 29. And that's kind of, a lot of people would consider that old. I laugh at that, you know, but he's a young 29, and like I say, I mean, athletically he can do some things that some people can't do, and he's just got to be physical. You know, I mean, his frame is like Pat Watkins, you know, that tall linear guy, and that's the reason Pat struggled in the NFL. They had him playing safety, and they should have moved him to corner years ago, and he would have succeeded. And because he was so long and could put his hands on people, you know. So it's, it's just a kind of a crapshoot. You never know what some of the personnel guys are thinking about a guy.
Hey, I want to ask you, Coach, you mentioned the CFL a couple times there. Scott Milanovic going to Edmonton, as you know, we had him on the show last week. He said he missed the CFL, missed the chance to run his own show. He's very excited about the opportunity. You've mentioned you're proud of your 17 years. What do you miss about the CFL when you mention that? What do you think of when you think of the CFL?
Well, I mean, here's what I enjoy. And again, I think I've got something wrong with me, but from, you know, win it, try to win it, do whatever you do. And then, and as quick as it's over, it's right into the personnel side of it. You know, people say, well, with the recruiting in college, you know, we would have those workouts just week in, week out and go. I mean, I had as much fun as at the workouts because it was a day of practice for me. And I missed doing that and putting the team together and making sure the pieces to the puzzle and the coaching staff. I just missed the entire – it was fun. You know, I mean, that once I got to that point and I could basically go find the players and, you know, and take guys that a lot of people gave up on and said they couldn't do this, they couldn't do that. The next thing you know, they're up there, they're solid citizens. Now, we lost a few. We had guys that, you know, we're given second opportunities to, and they ended up, you know, doing things they shouldn't and stuff like that. But we've got an awful good track record of guys that are good people, that have maintained the ability to and consistent enough to stay up there and put a career together. And that's what I miss most about, the CFL is just that, you know. And those guys are very proud. You know, the players are very proud. The coaches are very proud. And it's a much better league than what anybody in the States gives it credit for.
Yeah, as I often say, we don't have to defend anything we know, you know. By the way, Nick Lewis is here and Darren Dupont, too. You guys jump in anytime. But I'll just say this. I know how much you love the game. At those Florida camps, I saw you on the field. You belong on the field. And you also signed every player in yourself. So with Cleveland, it's not like you're looking for something to do, but how did your role change? What was your role with the Browns in 2019, just in terms of what you were doing day to day?
Senior defensive assistant, and basically what I would do is I would look at the film and try to find, you know, pre-snap keys on run pass or formation tendencies or shift and motion tendencies, things of that nature, and watch the quarterbacks and watch the receivers to see if they're doing anything when they're getting the ball. And, you know, that's kind of was my role. I coached the nickels and had a great group of guys. I mean, just solid kids from the top to bottom. And that was kind of my role, you know. Now, before the draft, they did ask me to evaluate, you know, all the defensive players. That was fun, you know, for the first time on the NFL level to be able to, you know, put a grade on a lot of the players. And the draft was fun, getting to see exactly who we were going to get after interviewing the guys at the combine and that thing. And so it was, like I say, I mean, you know, it was new. And it was seeing what the new process was going to be, and so that part of it was exciting.
That's really cool. Appreciate that answer. So transitioning from that, you've been watching a lot of these guys in the NFL now. You've been watching quarterbacks, receivers, tendencies. You can't see it because you're on the phone right now, but the Titans are my team. They're in the playoffs, Chris, and they got the Chiefs this weekend. And I know they played them once already and won, but how would you be drawing up a defense to stop Patrick Mahomes this weekend?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know that you completely stop the guy. I mean, he's a lot like, you know, like a guy like Bo Levi or Mike, you know. I mean, he's got the ability to run, but his biggest weapon is his arm. So you can't just, you know, man up every snap. But then again, if you're playing too far off and you're not close to those receivers, all you're going to do is watch them catch the ball. So it's and then you got to pressure him when you need to. So, I mean, you have to do a good job of mixing your coverages. And, you know, and the thing is they've got a complementary run game that, you know, that can move the ball and kind of, you know, you catch you off guard, you're going to have a change of field position play, and 50% of the games in the NFL come down to a field goal. So, I mean, one big play can mean the difference in the game.
Coach, Nick, do you have anything for Coach before we let him go?
Yeah, I just have one question for you, Chris. And, you know, I want to say thank you again and congratulations on moving down there. But were you able to take some of the things that you did here in the CFL defensively and add it to what they were doing down there in Cleveland and enhance a little bit about, you know, how the defense was going?
Well, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, again, I wasn't defensive coordinator. I was a supplementary piece to the puzzle. So basically I would take, you know, run pass tendencies. You remember how we used to always have run pass tendencies. Even when we played Montreal, we knew when Anthony Calvillo broke the huddle, and as soon as he looked that way, he was throwing that way. And Mike LeBenjo knocks down six balls. Well, you know, that was found, you know, before we played the game, you know. So those are things that it was a little bit foreign for them, but they accepted some of them. And so it's pretty cool being able to take some of that stuff to our team.
Definitely. Anything else, guys?
He's definitely one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. And it was a privilege to be around you. And just to touch on it again, I don't think people give you credit for how passionate you are for your players. And all your players love playing for you, and you're very passionate about them, you know, on the field and off the field. And, you know, that's just tremendous.
I appreciate that, man. Like that band of pirates that I used to call a staff, you know, that would travel around with me, you know, McAdoo and J-Jack and all those guys. I mean, it's like a family, you know, and the way I always treat my players and coaches, it was like, you know, like I'd want my son to be treated, you know, like I'd want my family to be treated, to hold them to the highest regard and highest expectations. But at the same time, you can put your arm around a guy when they do something good or bad and roll with it, you know. And I loved it, still love it, love my players, you know, and it's the memories. It's not, you know, everybody always says it's about the money with me, but I love the players. I love the memories, and hopefully they're not over. Hopefully we can continue to keep getting these things.
Yeah, hopefully I'm on that band of misfits one day.
No doubt, man.
All right, Coach, we appreciate the time. I know you're busy. I just want to say all the best in 2020. Looking forward to hearing what's next. Miss you up here. Hope to chat soon.
You know what, guys? Good talk to y'all.
All right, Chris Jones from St. Petersburg, Florida, chiming in this morning. And sounds like he's in a pretty jovial mood, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of fun, you know, to have him down there. So good stuff from Chris Jones.
We gonna take a break?
Yeah.
What do we got going on, guys? Okay, we'll take a break and be back with hour two. Coming up, Mark McLaughlin, more with Nick Lewis and Rombie Bryant. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.